I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. There's a lot in the air these days when it comes to our airlines, and I mean that figuratively. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported that the U.S. is facing what could be our most serious shortage of pilots since the 1960s. In the new movie Flight, Denzel Washington stars as a pilot with a drinking problem, and our guest Chris Ferrone has just written a piece for The Phoenix titled American Airlines Busted for Union Busting. Chris Ferrone, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
So what is American Airlines doing and why?
Well, American Airlines is in a kind of a unique nightmare, if you will. Over the past couple of years, they've slipped. They're no longer the biggest carrier. They've been surpassed by Delta. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last November. So, you know, but it really starts before that. But really where they're at is they actually, since my column came out, they do have a tentative agreement with their pilots, between 7,500 and 10,000 of them. Of course, you know, the details aren't out. Nobody knows how people will vote on it. But really it's been a prolonged limbo, and not just with the pilots but with all sorts of workers for American.
And a lot of American pilots, by the way, we should say have – well, they're not supposed to be actions, but they sort of have done some things to make it clear that they were very unhappy with what American was trying to do.
Right. And they are, you know, they are pushing for a merger with US Air. But, you know, I just want to say, like, you know, I the thing about – when you, you know, there's been so much talk, just generic talk about unions over the past year, especially during the presidential campaigns, that people really have to understand that in the, when we're talking about big aviation, this is a major, major difference. So American Airlines, for example, AMR, which is the parent company, they have about 70% of their workers are unionized. That's compared to – that's about average for the industry. Industry-wide, it's about 68%. You know, that's compared to only about 7% private, you know, private union members nationwide, you know, and which is, you know, which is the lowest in a century. So but in aviation, in the airlines, really, they're still very strong. And it's really this give and take. And they've been giving a lot. They gave a lot in 2003, about $2 billion.
Who's been giving a lot?
The workers, the
right,
American
workers.
Airlines workers.
Okay.
So they gave about $2 billion in concessions in 2003. That actually staved off the first bankruptcy. And they've been giving that much every year. So it's really – but ever since then, it's still been, you know, it's kind of this back and forth. And that's what's really kind of dangerous.
So in your piece, you focused on two groups of employees specifically because – and you linked it to public safety. One are the cargo agents and the other are the ticketing agents. So let's first focus on the cargo agents. What do they do and why is what they do so connected to our safety?
Okay, so cargo agents, you know, they move everything. So basically, think of it almost as customs agents. They're taking shipments, making sure that they arrive where they have to go, parsing them throughout the airport. A lot, you know, this stuff flies on commercial flights. And what they do, since we're in Boston, there's a lot of, you know, this is a medical hub. Everything from, you know, believe it or not, body parts, limbs, fluids, serums. They do an unbelievable amount of this. In fact, it's most of what they do all day. And they the people who work there, who I spoke with, you know, they have, you know, connections to the people they've been doing business with for a long time, as well as to the people in other airports. You know, did that shipment, did that arm, did that leg, did that get there? Did it get there on time?
Was it supposed to get there?
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you're talking about veterans in the cargo agent area, who are able to, as your piece states, you know these things and know when something's not quite right. And you think about it in the context of this NECC compounding controversy where there was a lot going on.
Absolutely.
There, no regulations, whatever. And, you know, maybe if there had been some folks who could say some things who knew how to do it. But the point is that what American Airlines would like to do, and that's why your piece is called Union Busting, is replace some of these veteran cargo agents with folks who have – virtually no experience, and who obviously would be much cheaper.
Right. So the first thing I forgot to say that's very important is the cargo workers are among the 30% of American Airlines workers who are not unionized right now. Their salaries top off at about $22 an hour. People are very happy. You know, there are benefits, but it's really been over the past year, especially since the bankruptcy was announced, it's really been a nonstop movement to push them out. And we're down at Logan, for example, American Airlines, from what I understand, last check, which is last week, the people who do what we're just talking about, these very sensitive shipments, there's two of them left. And the reason, as opposed to – and everybody else who's been brought in is low-wage workers. And it looks like even those two might be gone after the holidays. And the reason that there's two left is because they do the really complicated stuff,
wow.
you know, the international shipments and whatnot. But, you know, this is really – people can't really understand how their office would function without people who have this experience.
And so when we're talking about any kind of product or items that could get into our system – not just erroneously, like just a plain old mistake, but really in a dangerous way. This is very serious, and it connects back to our safety as consumers, those of us flying on these planes.
Yeah, and I think what it reflects on is the treatment of the airlines to the workers, and this goes right to the pilots. So, like I said, the pilots finally were able to have a deal, but these pilots have been without a contract for years, and like you said, they have been protesting in different ways. Of course, you know they're not. Admitting they're not really conceding that, but there have late arrivals, and as a result, American Airlines has been a true disaster. You know, when I started writing about this, I fly a lot. I guess sometimes on American, I have good luck though. But when I started writing this, people said, "Yeah, one bad experience on American after the other." People have told me about over the past year. So I guess you know this really does play out. This is from the top to the bottom, and you know one thing that of course they keep. They meaning workers, union, non-union, as well as the unions that are trying to organize the non-union workers, is that, you know, the CEO salaries have gone up. Even in years where American Airlines lost $500 million, CEO salary goes up 11% to $5.2 million a year. So there's very specific things that are being pointed to.
My guest is Chris Ferrone. He has just written a piece for the Phoenix titled American Airlines Busted for Union Busting. We should note, before I go into the next group of employees most impacted by this, is that American Airlines is the same airline that had the seats coming undone while people were flying. So when I read your piece, I'm thinking, are the people responsible for that somehow those folks who had a lot of experience also been shown the door? So maybe this is why American Airlines said it was a fluke, but there was more than one flight where those seats came undone and people were in the air.
Well, flight attendants are unionized there, and I believe that. You know, but also there's mechanics. There's a lot of people who that could be chalked up to, from what I understand. But, I mean, the overall message here, this is one giant nightmare for American Airlines. They really have to figure it out. Other airlines have had profitable years in recent memory. American Airlines has had decent quarters, but there's something going on there that they really can't get out of their own way. Right? They have to figure this out by January. That's essentially the deadline in bankruptcy court. And I don't know if it's going to happen when you see little things like this. Well, big things like this.
No, it's kind of big.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in one. You know, big things like this coming up.
All right. So the second group of employees, we talked about the cargo agents, are the ticket agents. And so for those who may think, well, ticket agents, you know, how important is that? All you have to do is go back a week and a half ago to hurricane then turned tropical storm Sandy. And I know because I was stranded in New Mexico trying to get back to the East Coast. So ticket agents became extremely important to me. And just as an anecdotal story, I went to the airport because I couldn't get anybody online. And I was on United. One of my colleagues, also stranded, was on American. We were done at United in about 2 seconds, and she was still standing there. Now, I don't know if something else was going on, but if there's been some cutback in the ticket agents, and it becomes an extreme nightmare to manipulate all the ticketing of folks who have been stranded, not let alone the people who have holding current reservations.
Absolutely. And, you know, so, like the cargo workers, the ticket agents were vulnerable. Because they're not unionized. So when American Airlines, when AMR started trimming in November, especially, they got it pretty badly. Anybody who goes to the airport now knows there's tons of the automated kiosks, and that goes that's across airlines, and you're going to see more and more of them. So it was really easy to chop a lot of them. But I think there's an argument to be made, like as you did, but I think anecdotally and especially that. There's a major use for them for that kind of people dynamic. Of course, some of that work they would want to say would be moved out of the airport to people you'd call.
To call centers.
Or work with call centers online who make significantly less. And to be honest, I don't know the exact number of how much the ticket agents make, but obviously it's not astronomical, and it's also not as low as they'd like to pay.
So your piece focused on American Airlines, but I think it's fair to say that consumers have been singularly unhappy with a lot of moves that airlines have made. Perhaps maybe they're more angry with American at this time. Is this something that we'll see spreading to other airlines? So if American is able to make all of these cuts stick in this way, Will other airlines look at it and say, well, you know, we don't want to spend the money for it, so we'll do the same?
Other airlines seem to be much more stable. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Communication Workers of America, CWA, that is organizing the non-union workers here at Logan, they actually had success in this exact – in these exact departments at US Air. Like I said, this seems to be an American Airlines problem more than anything else. The other thing I'll say is that if they do seem to get – they do get their act together. If the pilots – if, you know, if the judges think everything's okay, if the pilots approve this contract, they will be able to merge with US Air, which is what a lot of people are looking at. This is kind of inevitable, so long as everything is put in the right place, and that could be a positive. The pilots seem to want it. A lot of the workers seem to want it. The unions I've spoken with don't think it's a bad idea. So that could be the light at the end of the tunnel. Otherwise, yeah, I see other airlines as coming up with some creative ways. They had much easier strike deals with their unions. So like I said, this is an AMR issue.
Well, you know, the piece about the airline pilot shortage, that huge piece by Wall Street Journalist, is not your piece, but it just sort of goes together with what you're writing about. Two reasons. A lot of experienced pilots, let's think about Sully Sullenberger, Miracle on the Hudson, left the industry, have left, normal time for them to retire. But now there's a government mandate that there be certain amount of experience that each pilot has to have in order to be a pilot. And Sully Sullenberger, by the way, was quoted about this pilot shortage and said, he blamed the industry, thinking that the industry, in complaining about this, was trying to weaken the government mandates for a certain level experience. So you end up with pilots not as experienced and, of course, cheaper. And then there's no Sully Sullenberger if you're going down on the Hudson. You just get who you get.
Well, I think it's across the industry that have been lobbying to lower standards. This is kind of the nature of it. From what I understand, there are other contributing factors as well. For example, if you look at and when I was talking about when American Airlines pilots and everybody else did give concessions in 2003, the industry was way down after 9/11, and there was an assault on pilots across the industry, mm-hmm. And there were concessions made, not happily, but graciously, I would say. So it wasn't necessarily a great industry to get in. We've always heard about pilots getting paid. You know, it's almost like a common thing. You know, I don't want my pilot making $25,000 a year. So I don't know.
By the way, that is a salary, $25,000, $30,000, right, for those pilots on the regional airlines. That's not just a made up figure.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of contributing factors. I don't know if the new Denzel Washington movie is going to bring light to any of them, but I'm sure it's a phenomenal piece of entertainment.
But I would say that anything that that speaks to safety, I mean, we may all disagree as members of the flying public about what is important, boarding first or this or that. And we're paying way more for all with these extra fees. They're charging us, out of the wazoo.
Extra fees, which are not always – when you hear about the cost of airline travel over the years, just kind of do your own analysis, because really a lot of the fees aren't packed in there. I just wanted to add that. So,
well, all I can say is that we're paying the fees, and we think that what we're doing as the flying public is somehow making certain that the systems are in place to ensure our safety. And these kinds of articles, the Wall Street Journal and yours, makes me very nervous as one who flies, because you would like to think that the people who are in position have some years of experience and know what they're doing.
Absolutely. So, and it's really that's the kind of industry that it is. It's something that people take very seriously, and I think this is why I wrote a column about it. I think it's something people should pay attention to, and I think even people who are skeptical of organized labor should really check this out. It's a unique situation in the aviation industry. It's kind of like how it's always been, and I mean, we've all been on planes, even American Airlines flights. These things aren't empty.
No, they're packed.
These things are packed. Okay, so yeah. if the money's not going to the non-union employees, if it's not going to the union employees, if they somehow can't turn a profit, we need to figure out what's going on. I can't figure it out yet. I'm working on it.
Okay, so with the American situation particularly, there will be some kind of denouement at the end of this year?
I think it'll be a little bit more like early next year. But yeah, okay. There'll be big American Airlines headlines. That was hard to say. In the next year.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris Ferrone.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the future of American Airlines and what it means for those who work at Logan Airport and use Logan. And I've been speaking with Chris Ferrone. He's a staff writer for the Boston Phoenix and author of 99 Nights with the 99%. Thanks again, Chris. And here's Emily Rooney making her way to the microphone here in Studio 3.
Okay, so Kelly, do you know what a GMO is?
Actually, yes, I do. I know they're not labeled here, and they are labeled in Europe, and it's annoying to me.
Yeah, it's genetically modified organisms. And it was just a ballot question in California that did not pass. But the big question for us is, should we have a right to know what we're eating? Genetically modified organisms. We're going to talk to Corby Kummer about that.
Yep, we should know. And all right. I'm Callie Crossley.
I'm Emily Rooney, and this is Boston Public Radio.
Intelligent, but not yet equivalent.